Good day. I will open the forum this day to all of you for your questions, but I would express that you consider the topic of how to be expressing cooperation when you don't agree. But I will open it to all of your questions, and you can begin now.
Hi, Elias. This is Terry.
Welcome.
I think this goes... Thank you. This goes along with cooperation and also a question I wanted to ask about relaxation for me. I often project to other people when there is an issue, and it seems that the route to the success I want in everything is relaxation, which will require a lot of cooperation. But I'm also wondering if when you talk about relaxation to me, is it regarding an underlying tension, underlying current of tension? Is that what I'm supposed to be trying to relax? I had an imagery come up of a river flowing around in a circle and a big dam, and my mother and father sitting on top of the dam, and floating around the river are all of the people that I perceive to have done me wrong in this lifetime. And then I pictured myself opening the gates to the dam and letting them flow out and letting them go. So when you tell me to relax, is it regarding tension from holding on to all of these perceived wrongdoings in my past to make sure it doesn't happen again?
This is an excellent beginning for this subject. One, this brings a specific avenue of cooperation, which would be that cooperation with yourself. And in that, the key would be letting go of the fight. Now, the fight is not necessarily what you think, because you think of the fight in terms of struggle, but you think of struggle in a very specific manner. And you are generating a struggle and it is giving up the struggle, but you don't necessarily recognize what that struggle is, because it is the struggle between what you think you want and what you think you have, which can be in relation to a physical manifestation. And in that, what you think you have is some dysfunction, and what you want is to fix it. This is the key. This is the key in the entire subject of cooperation, is giving up the fix. That is the fight. In this, you can replace the word fight with fix. That it is that struggle of constantly moving in the direction of focusing on fixing a situation, changing it. And that concentration on what you don't want, or what you don't like, or what you don't agree with. Therefore, this is an excellent example of that, because it is applicable whether it is in relation to an outside source, another individual, a situation, a physical manifestation, some expression emotionally within yourself. It can be anxiety, or panic, or pain. In this, in relation to your visualization, I would be acknowledging you in that, that is definitely a beginning. It is definitely moving in the direction of giving up the fight. But in that, what you are doing, and this is the reason that it is the beginning, it is not the entire picture. You are recognizing the factors that you associate with that word fight. Therefore, looking at different aspects of a subject that are distressing to you, or that create anxiety or tension, and that generate that expression within yourself, in which you are continuing to harbor those feelings and those associations that don't actually serve you, that are uncomfortable, that are negative. And let me express in this moment, as an aside, this is not about positive and negative, but in that capacity that you are viewing situations or other individuals or experiences as having wronged you, obviously you would view that as a negative expression, and it affects you in negative capacities. It influences what you do, how you think, what you feel, what your choices are. It limits you in different capacities, and it affects you in manners that you may not even notice. It also generates a tremendous contributant to that factor of not enough, not being happy enough, not feeling well enough, not having enough energy, not expressing enough patience. In this, that initial piece of identifying the obvious factors that are perhaps a source of irritation and conflict. Yes, that is an excellent direction to engage as a beginning. Fordham, it is important that you begin with the most obvious pieces, and therefore you are, in a manner of speaking, as I have expressed previously, clearing the garbage out of your path, and therefore allowing yourself to see your path more clearly, to see what you are doing, to see how you are moving and what direction you are moving in, which is difficult when your path is very cluttered with garbage. And this, generating that type of visualization can be very beneficial for it. Aids you in letting go of some of those factors that you are holding on to that are influencing you in manners that don't allow you to cooperate with yourself. And cooperating with yourself may be cooperating with your body. If your body is generating some type of dysfunction or irritation or pain, it is important that you are cooperating with your body. And you are not cooperating with your body if you are continuously moving in the direction of the fix, because the fix in itself is the fight. It is that piece in which you are concentrated on that alteration, but in actuality, regardless of what you think, and remember, thinking does not create your reality. All it does is translate. And it does not always translate accurately. Therefore, contrary to what you may think in many situations, you may think, I am moving in the direction of moving towards because I am moving in the direction of health. And I want to be expressing more comfort in my body. But that does not necessarily mean that you are not actually concentrating on moving away from discomfort, which is considerably understandable and very common for most individuals. Do not enjoy being uncomfortable, and most individuals do not enjoy pain. But in that, it is automatic for you want to avoid it, or for you to want to move away from it. And that motivates you to move in directions to fix it. And in that, you can very easily express to yourself and perhaps even convince yourself that you are moving in a constructive direction with that subject because you are thinking that you are moving in the direction of health. And this, it genuinely is a matter of giving up that fix.
And well, I must have given up the fix somehow because I managed getting a new hip 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
So did I give up the fix? Thank you. My first thought was, now I want to move on to fixing my eyes. So that's wrong.
What I would express is it is not wrong. It is merely not allowing you to accomplish as well or as quickly as you want to.
And so how did I create that to get my hip fixed so I can recreate it to move in a direction of my eyes fixing? How did I do that with my hip?
What I would ask you is, what were you feeling and what were you doing just prior to creating that?
Well, the pain was getting worse and I had given up being able I was researching different ways that I might be able to accomplish it, but really felt like I wasn't going to be able to do it. But I kept calling, I kept trying different things and did manage to do it. So I guess that's where it gets confusing, because in one way I felt like I wasn't going to be able to do it, but I kept taking actions to see if I, if there was some way, because it was hurting more.
This is key. This is what you are looking for, is that key. It is not a matter of giving up, in which you merely immobilize yourself and you express no action at all, but that you are stopping that fight within you, because you reach a point in which you are almost resigned, that you are almost in that position in which your thinking, once again, is expressing to you or telling you that it is impossible, or that it is pointless because you won't accomplish, that there is nothing you can do, and that whatever you do will likely be unsuccessful. Now, in that, that seems to be what you might think of as a negative. It definitely doesn't feel positive, and I acknowledge that. But that is all that is necessary, is that movement in that direction of that resignation. There remains an aspect of you, a piece of you, that continues to move and continues to do, because there is that piece of you that knows you can accomplish. But your thinking is expressing it is pointless, it won't happen, I can't do this. And what you do is you generate that resignation, in a manner of speaking. This is a significant piece, because one of your indicators that you are giving up the fight or giving up the fix is your thinking. Remember, your thinking is the translating mechanism. Your thought mechanism is not your enemy. As much as we have engaged conversations about thinking too much or thinking in loops, the other aspect of that is that your thinking actually isn't a detriment to you in most situations, and it serves a very specific and important purpose as that translator. Now, when your thinking moves in that direction of resignation, that is your indicator for that's what it is translating. It is translating you giving up that fight. That does not mean that you are immobilized. It does not mean that you are not engaging any actions, but you're not fighting with it any longer. You're not moving in that direction of the fight being the fix. That does not mean that you don't want to alter something. That is the point. You do want to alter something. And in that, it is that subtle difference between moving towards and moving away from. When you are in that fight, I have to. You are expressing that moving away from. When you resign, you move towards. Then you are expressing that openness to allow. And then you create changes. You allow.
Well, I feel like I gave up the fix on my eyes a while ago.
I would disagree.
Because
what I would say to you that is the indicator of why I disagree is that this continues to be an ongoing subject of concern and dissatisfaction.
So how can I get to that place of giving up the fix for my eyes?
Very similar to what you did in relation to your hip. You move in the direction of lessening the importance of the fix. When you move to that point of resignation, that was the point. The thinking is moving in the direction of, regardless of what I do, this won't be successful. That is not true, but that is the thinking translating you giving up the fight. You understand the difference?
I do, but I guess I just don't see such a blatant difference in what I did with my hip to translate it to my eyes. It just seems like it was, in my mind, it seems like I felt the same way about both. Obviously, I didn't.
No, I would agree with you, but you move to a point with that the pain was overwhelming. And that was the piece that initiated the giving up.
Okay.
That is the difference. Your eyes are annoying to you. They're irritating to you. They're bothersome to you. They're not overwhelming.
Oh. Okay.
And I would also express that is not unusual, that most individuals don't reach that point of giving up the fight or the fix until they do reach a point in which the situation becomes overwhelming or unbearable. And that motivates them to stop.
Okay.
Let me express to you all in a different capacity that may also give you a slightly different direction to associate with yourselves. What I would express to you is think about reality. Think about your universe. And remember, everything reflects you. Therefore, let us think of a very different type of scenario or picture, if you will. If you think about your universe, what is the action and what is happening when a supernova occurs? What is it doing? What is actually happening with that occurrence? Most of you might express that what that is the death of a star. What it actually is an explosion of a star. It is the star exploding, and it creates what you define as a supernova. And what happens in that is there is a tremendous building of energy. Tremendous building of energy, and it builds and builds and builds until it reaches a point in which it explodes. And when it explodes, it bursts apart. In actuality, rather than a death, it creates an expansion of your universe. And in that expansion, it creates new manifestations. It alters a direction in a part of your universe, and it creates new manifestations. This is what you do naturally. You metaphorically create your own supernovas. You expand. And as you expand, and this applies to all of you, for all of you have been considerably expanding your awareness, becoming much more self-aware, moving in new directions. But in that process, as you expand, an energy builds. And what generally occurs while you are expanding, much to your confusion, is that you begin presenting difficulties to yourselves, problems. And in that, it seems to be contrary to what you are doing. You are expanding, you are becoming more aware, then why are you creating these difficulties? And why are you generating these problems or these manifestations and uncomfortableness? That is all part of the process. As you expand, you build that energy in a very similar manner to that star. And in that, it pulls to the surface all the debris that has built up energy within you. And in a manner of speaking, as you become more aware, that explodes. And in that, what it does is it creates this allowance for you to expand more and more quickly. It is not always comfortable. In many situations, it is uncomfortable, but it is not necessarily bad, for it serves a purpose. You are a species that tends to become complacent if everything in your life is status quo. If you are continuously comfortable, which I am aware that is the goal that all of you want to be, but realistically speaking, when you are considerably comfortable and not challenging yourselves, you do incorporate a tendency to become complacent. And in that, you don't change. And you don't learn how to cooperate with yourself or anything else, because you continue to maintain what is familiar. You don't motivate yourselves to change if you don't include challenge. Now, challenge does not always have to be uncomfortable, but for most of you, that is what motivates you. Is when you are uncomfortable, you are considerably motivated to discover other directions to allow you to be more comfortable. And in that, it motivates you to be expanding and be more aware of what you are doing, what is creating the discomfort, and therefore, what are your choices that you can engage that will allow you to move in directions that are more comfortable for you. And this, that also generally reaches a point in which you give up the fight. And then you begin to allow. And when you allow, you change. And one of the other significant indicators of continuing to express the fight is tension. Pressure and tension. That you continuously generate in relation to your body consciousness, those are tremendous indicators that you are continuing to hold to the fight or the fix. And what would be another example of giving up the fight or the fix and moving in directions of cooperation?
I wonder if I can ask now. I have this one question. I want to know my essence name.
One moment.
Telling Elias to stand by. He's laughing at me.
Must be a very nice name.
Are we waiting for you?
No, continuing. Sorry. Go right ahead. Don't let me get in the way.
Very well. We shall continue.
Oh, he wants to know his innocence.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Stop it.
Very well. Essence name. Stalia. Stalia.
Family.
And your impression?
Yes.
What is your impression?
Sumari.
Correct.
Okay.
And what is your impression of your alignment?
Oh, I have no idea.
Gramada.
Okay. I do have another question. I hope it's short. I would like to know how come I came to you? Because to be honest, I get very confused. I don't understand you clearly. Your English is not the common English, and my English is English is not my primary language. So I don't understand what I came to you. I came from Abraham, from Seth, and Bashar, and I did understand them, but in many cases, it's so difficult for me to understand what you say that it puzzles me. Why did I came here? Why did he end it?
I would express that you resonate with the energy. And in actuality, my friend, that is all that is necessary. You can give yourself considerable information, and that can be interesting, and it can be helpful, and it can be inspiring, but I would also express that when you resonate with an energy, you can assimilate information without the intellectual aspect of it.
Okay, I understand. It is something I understand. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Hi, Elias. This is OJ. Hi, Elias. This is OJ. And I would like to ask you how you perceive or see us when connecting with us in the distance over the phone line. Is there any direct energy exchange with you and us? And are you aware of every individual currently participating?
Yes. Yes to each of those questions.
Okay, fascinating. Thank you.
You are welcome. In actuality, I'm aware of each of you and all of the individuals that you interact with and all of the individuals that they interact with. You are all touching other individuals and connecting with other individuals far beyond yourself. And when I connect with you, I am connecting with all of them also.
Then will I be able to find you after I die? You said you are in a focus of teaching, but not in touch with those essences that have passed over. And are we all connected and be able to find each other?
Yes. Not in the manner that you may think in physical terms, but yes, you are all, we all are interconnected. And in that, it is not a matter of finding, for it is all present. Therefore, you don't have to find.
Elias, Facebook memory popped up today of Jenna and the girl that left with her. So it must have been about 3 years ago today or yesterday. I was wondering if they were present with us today for our group interaction.
I would express in one capacity, not necessarily entirely in relation to what you would think of as attention, but in a capacity that they are considerably interconnected with all of you, and that does not change, regardless that they may not be participating within physical focus any longer. That does not alter the factor that they are continuing to be very interconnected with you all. And in that capacity, yes. In the idea of an individual person, such as you were familiar with in physical focus, no.
Okay. And getting back to the actual subject of cooperation, you know, there's many times in the dog rescue world where, especially the greyhound world of the anti-racing and the pro-racing, it's very easy to get angry and, you know, attack somebody for their views. And that requires a lot of cooperation too, and understanding that it's just their view and your view doesn't necessarily have to be right. So that takes a lot of cooperation also.
I would very much agree. And that is another excellent example, for in that it is an example of two very different and opposing ideas or opinions. And in relation to that, it is a matter of recognizing that in one capacity, neither opinion is right or wrong, but in another capacity, both opinions are right and wrong, because it is a matter of recognizing in regard to the larger picture and reality and perception, no individual's opinion or perception is absolutely right or absolutely wrong. But in regard to the individual picture, you each do have your own guidelines and preferences and opinions, and in that, they are right for you. Therefore, it is a matter of acknowledging to yourself that your direction, your opinion, your preference is right for you because it moves in harmony with your guidelines. But that does not necessarily apply to other individuals, and therefore their opinion and preferences are also right for them. And in that, that introduces that subject that is disagreement, that you don't agree. You don't incorporate a meeting of the minds. You don't move in a direction of you automatically accept the expression of the other individual. No, you likely don't. In this, what you accept is not that difference of opinion or that different direction. What you accept is that the other individual's reality is equally as real and significant and important as your own. And therefore, what you accept is that what they are expressing is equally as right and correct for them as what you express is right and correct for you. Now, that does not mean that you cannot cooperate. You don't have to agree. You don't have to have a meeting of the minds, and you don't have to compromise. It is not a competition. It is not a matter of one has to win or one has to be right. It is a matter of honoring both directions, and then in that, discovering how you can continue to express your direction without matching energy with the other individual and without discounting them. Let me give you an example that most of you will likely express you don't agree with, and that you would likely express is wrong. Within the world at this point, and I would express within the continent that most of you occupy that are present this day in this conversation of North America, within the two countries of Canada and the United States, the sport of cockfighting is alive and well. It is outlawed in every state of the United States, and it is outlawed in every province of Canada, and it is thriving in every province and in every state, and it thrives around your world. And the individuals that engage this sport, and they definitely classify it as a sport, genuinely believe that they are right, and genuinely do not believe that they are inflicting harm or abuse to these animals. They genuinely believe that the animals themselves naturally move in this direction, and that they are merely capitalizing on an action that these animals would do anyway. In that, these individuals vehemently defend themselves in their sport and what they do, and believe that they are right. Most of you engaging this conversation with myself would likely disagree with that and would likely vehemently move in the opposite direction if you were presented with that situation, or if you were presented with those very animals that are being used in those fights. Or shall we move even closer to you and express that you as humans engage the sport of fighting all over your world? And in that, the individuals that engage that sport of fighting, boxing, vehemently defend it and agree with it and express that it is a sport and that it is a choice, in the same capacity that they would express about cockfighting, that the roosters choose to fight. Just as humans choose to fight. Now, in this, you don't have to agree with these individuals. You can vehemently disagree. That does not mean that you cannot interact with these individuals or that they cannot interact with you. And it does not mean that the only manner that you can interact with each other is to avoid the subject of fighting. It means that if you move in directions of cooperation, you focus on what is actually important, not what you disagree about. Is the subject of cockfighting actually important to you in the moment if you are merely discussing it, if you are not participating with it? Most of you that don't agree with it don't participate with it. You wouldn't find yourself at a cockfighting ring. You wouldn't be participating in gambling in relation to the fight because you don't agree with it. Therefore, the only likely scenario that you would actually engage would be to be in the presence of another individual that does agree with it and be engaging a conversation with them. You are not participating. Therefore, what are you making important? The convincing of the other individual that you are right and that they are wrong and not cooperating with them? Or in that, perhaps discovering some aspect of this individual's passion, you don't have to agree with them. That does not mean that you cannot cooperate with them. It does not mean that you cannot observe their reflection to you. And remember what we discussed about reflections, that significant piece. In every reflection, there is a piece that you want, regardless of what it is. Regardless of whether you hate the subject or not, there is something that you are reflecting to yourself that you want. or you would not present it to yourself. And this, that is the point. Discovering where the cooperation lies. And a significant piece of that is discovering what you are making important and whether it actually is important or not. For I would express that there are many, many, many time frameworks, situations, scenarios, interactions in which you are making a subject important that actually isn't important, and it doesn't actually directly involve you. But you stand on principles. What should be. Therefore, it is a matter of reevaluating how to be expressing that cooperation even when you don't agree. Even when you express that some other source is entirely wrong. Which you are presenting yourselves with ample sources of that presently. It appears to be surrounding all of you. What you don't agree with and what you believe is absolutely wrong. And of course, if you don't agree, and something is absolutely wrong, it is not possible to express cooperation.
And?
Perhaps one of you might offer an example of expressing that cooperation with some outside source in which you very much don't agree. And offer the other individuals some inspiration.
Hi, Elias. This is of course completely what I'm immersed in at the moment and moving through with your assistance and others, my divorce, which I feel will
and I would express an acknowledgement. Do share, for I am aware that you have actually been somewhat successful in this direction, and that would be an excellent example to share with other individuals as an inspiration.
Thank you, Elias. Yes, I am engaged with a divorce, and my soon-to-be ex-spouse and I express tremendously differently. We do not agree on most things. And keeping a year ago, you said the one thing in the reflection to keep my eye on was empowerment. And that's really the only conversation we've had over this past year objectively. So that was the common want. No matter how he was expressing, how much I did not agree, fell into many times of trying to be right and convince him of such and correct, etc., and finding myself noticing that quicker and returning to presence, and the cooperation had to be with me first, and all these ideas that it is not teamwork. Cooperation is about me moving in my direction and allowing the other person to also move in their direction regardless, and finding that points of cooperation, continuously asking what is important, minute to minute to minute. And we are at this point of moving forward and signing that piece of paper, and it feels very accomplishing. And I'm very proud of myself in this. And I wanted to express again, thanks to you and everyone who supported me. The one issue that I'm listening really hard for this last hour that is still outstanding, so it might be a nuance of what you're talking in this cooperation, is I'm signing what seems to be a final piece of paper, and the last emotional attachment I have is in the subject matter of the house. And I still waffle a little bit these last few days and why that is. And I realized I have created something that's comfortable for me. I can still have access to the house for 4 more years. And I realized that when I would get upset, it was because I was projecting futurely that in 4 years I won't have this. And so it was a matter of going, what's happening right now? Right now I do have this house. I do have this ability to enjoy it when I want to, and it is in cooperation. So a lot of that is not projecting out of the now and getting myself worked up, because right now I do have exactly what I want.
Precisely.
Can you speak to that more?
Precisely. And I would express to you that in 4 years, that may not be important to you any longer. In 4 years, you may not want to be in that position. In 4 years from now, you may be in an entirely different direction, and that house may incorporate no significance to you whatsoever. It is important to you now, and you have it now. I would also express an addition to what you were expressing previously and what I was acknowledging you about in that expression of cooperation that you did not actually share with other individuals as an example of that. I would say that an excellent example of that cooperation was in this process. Your ex-partner has incorporated moments in becoming tremendously emotional. And in that, presenting himself almost as a victim. And in this, rather than reacting, rather than moving in the direction of being judgmental and expressing in reaction and moving in conflict, which would be considerably understandable, but I would express that it generated triggers of manipulation and discomfort for you and expectations of you. And in that, there was definitely a piece of not agreeing with how he was expressing and the direction that he was moving in. And in that also, the non-agreement is touching those areas of, if he is expressing in this manner and presenting himself as a victim, then he is presenting that in a manner that influences my children to view me as wrong or as the monster and as him being victimized or taken advantage of. And in that, the manipulation triggers those old experiences that are considerably uncomfortable. And what you did was not react. And what you did was observe his behavior. And rather than moving in the direction of that judgment and also that apprehension of how it would reflect on you, you merely expressed yourself without fanfare, without pushing, and in that, you did generate an expression of cooperation, which was tremendous and a tremendous accomplishment. And that is what you didn't share, but that is noteworthy, and that is significant to share, because that is the inspiration of that inaction of cooperating. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Elias. And I will be more mindful and not being so careful and cautious in what I would in my sharing.
I would express that was the reason that I invited you to share, because it would be an inspiration to other individuals. And in that, you deserve that acknowledgement.
Thank you, Elias.
You're very welcome.
Just a quick note from the moderator, everybody. We have about 25 minutes left. We'll end around 3:10 Eastern time. So anybody feel free to jump in.
I have another quick question. Do you know who I am?
I do. Do you know who you are?
Great question.
Well, I am not sure, but I'm just curious, because, you know, how can you know everybody everywhere? But it's good to know. Good to know. And I am kind of a loner, and I wonder if I have more focuses or something.
You have more focuses?
Yeah.
Of course you do, my friend. Many, 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 many.
why am I loner? I don't know. Well, anyway.
I would express that is merely connected with this particular focus. And in actuality, I would express that if you genuinely evaluate for yourself, it is somewhat more comfortable for you. I'm not expressing that you don't enjoy interacting with other individuals or that you don't want to interact with other individuals, but I would also express that if you were genuinely evaluating your life, you are comfortable with less stimulation.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, the fact is, I am a loner, but I never feel lonely. Never.
And that is the key.
Thank you.
You are very welcome, my friend.
Elias, going back to the relaxation piece, you know, that comes up in almost every session that we have. This is Terry. Am I on the right track with what I've been practicing with lately and trying to be mindful of body tension in every moment? And, you know, I'm just not sure that I understand relaxation in the way that, you know, I have an understanding of it, but I'm wondering if you mean it in a different way.
When I am expressing relaxation, at times I am expressing that in a physical capacity, for there is a physical aspect of it. And for many individuals, they are not objectively even aware of how much tension they hold within their body consciousness, and therefore it is significant and important to engage a physical relaxation of the body consciousness. But you are correct, it is more than that, that it is not only a matter of relaxing the body consciousness and not holding that tremendous tension, but it is also a matter of relaxing your perception in many, many situations and time frameworks. And that does not require you to be every moment reminding yourself, relax, 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 relax.
Okay.
It is more a general expression of being aware of those time frameworks in which you are repeat thinking, or you are moving in directions of then feelings and increasing them, or you are involving yourself in situations with other individuals that don't involve you, or you are attempting to fit yourself into a position that you don't fit in because you should fit in it, or you are expressing those judgments of yourself, I should know better. I should be able to. I should know more. I should recognize more. Those are significant areas in which, when I am expressing to all of you to relax, those are significant pieces of that. It is not merely relax your body. Yes, do relax your body, but it is also relax your perception. I would express to you, if you could visualize momentarily your perception as being the workings and the inner mechanisms of a watch or a clock, what happens to a clock if you wind it too tightly?
It breaks.
It snaps the springs and it creates that tension that, yes, it breaks. And in that, you do that with yourselves very frequently, not necessarily only with your bodies, but with your perception. You concentrate in directions that are constricting to you. And that constriction creates more and more and more tightness. And that automatically creates tension and pressure and stress with the body consciousness. But beyond the body consciousness, it also encourages you to continue to concentrate in directions that are not beneficial to you, that limit you, or that hold you in considerably uncomfortable positions. And therefore, yes, you are correct that when I am expressing to all of you to relax, it is more than only relaxing your body consciousness, but in addition to that, relaxing your perception also. Stop holding to your perception in the manner of winding that clock too tightly. Let me express to you, your perception will never leave you.
Good.
And I would also express that if you relax it, it will not stop functioning. It is a part of you. It is an integral part of your physical manifestation. It creates every aspect and every moment of your reality. Therefore, your reality won't disappear if you relax it. It will continue to function and it will continue to create your reality, likely more effectively, if you relax with it occasionally. I am not even expressing for you to relax with it continuously, for that would be unrealistic. But in this, occasionally, it would be tremendously beneficial to all of you if you would relax. And that is the reason that I emphasize so strongly presenting that question to yourself: how important is this subject to me in this moment? And why is it so important to me in this moment that I am involving myself with it so intensely? Because that leads you in the direction of allowing you to relax your perception and not be wound so tight.
You think I've been making progress since we last spoke in December?
Yes, I do.
Good, so I'm on the right track.
Hi, Elias. This is the moderator. I have a question on behalf of Barb in Oregon. And she asks, is there any suggestions how to stand back when emotions run high in conflicts? I sometimes feel as though I have help during those moments nowadays.
I would agree. And you do. And you all do. If you are open to receiving it and you are open to allowing it, whenever you feel so very alone and isolated, you are entirely not. And there is tremendous expressions of energy that are available and with you. It's merely a matter of being open to that. But I would express that when you are expressing in a considerably emotional capacity, especially if it is in relation to certain emotional expressions or certain feelings, certain signals, sadness, anxiety, panic, guilt, anger. These types of expressions, these signals, generally are expressed in intensities, in varying degrees of intensities, but they generally are expressed in intensities. And the key in that is to not become caught by the signal. To not become immersed in the signal. And that can be difficult at times because the signal can be very strong, especially with some of these particular emotional signals. Anxiety can be considerably intense, which leads into panic. I would express that sadness can be considerably intense at times. Anger can be considerably intense at times. And because the feeling, the signal is so strong, it can be very challenging at times to remember to step to the side, metaphorically speaking, and look at the signal rather than being consumed by it. When you are only feeling and you are only paying attention to the feeling, you incorporate a much stronger tendency to continue to reinforce the feeling, even if it is uncomfortable. Realistically, observe what most of you do when you are uncomfortable, when you are angry, when you are sad, when you are panicked. You not only reinforce it and continue it with yourself, but you move in such a mission to continue it, you reach out to other individuals to reinforce it. You want an echo, as you want to reinforce that signal. Feelings are attractive. Even if they are bad feelings, even if they are uncomfortable, they are attractive. And in that, the key in relation to those feelings is to not become consumed with the feeling, but to catch the feeling, recognize it, definitely acknowledge it to yourself, and then to look at it rather than merely be swallowed by it. When you can look at it, It gives you a different perspective. And in that, it allows you to remember that you have choices. That is the difficulty with highly intense situations and intensive feelings, is that you forget that you have choices. You forget that you have any choices other than to be consumed by the feeling. I would express that the most difficult feeling to look at rather than be consumed by is anxiety. Or that generally, if it increases, moves into panic. And once you move in that direction, you begin to involve the body consciousness, and that reinforces the panic because now your body is also reacting and tensing, and your heart pounds and your breathing changes, and you feel uncomfortable, and that frightens you, and that reinforces the panic. Therefore, I would express that anxiety is generally the most difficult feeling to step that one step sideways and look at the feeling rather than being consumed by the feeling. But in that, what I would express to you is that there are two factors that you can engage. One is if you have any other individual around you or within physical proximity to you, you can use them as a resource to remind you to look at the feeling rather than be consumed by it. If you don't have another individual in physical proximity to you to help remind you, then it is a matter of generating simple tricks. With anxiety, one factor that is considerably effective is generating some type of repetitive physical action. For that readjusts your nervous system. It distracts your nervous system. It is very difficult for the nervous system to be connecting signals in relation to the brain in one direction of panic and anxiety, which generally requires most of the attention, and to divide that and generate any type of concentration on some physical action. Therefore, for those individuals that may be more inclined to be expressing anger or panic or anxiety, not necessarily sadness, although you can incorporate this method also with sadness, what I would suggest is that you incorporate a worry stone. Only don't use it for worry. I would express that a worry stone is a small stone that is approximately the size of the tip of your thumb. The end aspect of your thumb from your knuckle to the tip. That would be the size of the stone. And generally, a worry stone incorporates an indentation in the stone that your finger will fit into very comfortably. It is not a hole. It is merely an indentation. These stones are generally very smooth. They fit between your forefinger and your thumb very comfortably. And if you carry this with you, you don't have to hold it continuously, but if you carry it with you and it is accessible to you at any time, because you generally do not anticipate moving into an expression of panic or anxiety, but that it will be available if you do, or if you become considerably angry, merely hold the stone and begin to rub your thumb and your forefinger back and forth and back and forth and back and forth against the stone. It is very difficult for the physical brain to concentrate that intensity in the anxiety or panic or anger, and also generate a physical action. It divides your attention, and it generally will calm those feelings. Not immediately, but relatively quickly, it will divert your attention. And that can give you merely that slight aspect in which you can step to the side and look at the feeling rather than being consumed by it. And that can allow you that choice to ask yourself, how important is this? Is it now? Is it then? Is it future? How important is this to me in this moment? And how much am I actually invested or involved in this moment? And that can dissipate the anxiety, the fear, the panic, the anger, or even the sadness considerably. I would express to all of you a tremendous acknowledgement of your accomplishments, of your expansion, of your individual supernovas that have been allowing all of you to expand, and what you are doing with them. I would encourage all of you to genuinely contemplate that subject of cooperation, for it is considerably important, and especially in this time framework. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting, and I express tremendous lovingness to each all of you. Au revoir.
Au revoir.